Welcome to Knowing Christ, the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle. We're glad you're listening and encourage you to tune in each week as we study God's Word. Our desire is that each week we will know Christ more and more.
Without God's Word, there is no hope. You know, Elijah looks at the diminishing brook, and every day, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. He knows what's going to happen. It's going to end out. And then the word of the Lord comes to him, and it's life-giving.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to 1 Kings chapter 17. And the lesson today is really about God's great provision for us in times of depletion. I wonder if you've ever experienced a time in your life where everything was full, everything was complete, the Lord's blessing was pouring into your life, and suddenly everything seemed to just dry up. The blessing of God seems to disappear, and you're asking questions like, Lord, how am I going to survive? How am I going to make it through this? Well, 1 Kings 17 reminds us of who God is. It reminds us to not just trust in God's provision, but to trust in the Lord. He himself is a God who cares for us deeply. And Elijah's story reminds us of the sure care of the Lord to keep us and to hold us and to provide for us in sometimes very strange and amazing ways. So let's open up our Bibles together to be encouraged that God is a God who provides.
Elijah is a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he's both strong and he's very weak. He's both triumphant and then we see him failing. He's both trusting and then he's very timid. And yet the Lord uses this man who is like us to turn a whole nation back to himself, to bring revival. And Elijah is using resources that are accessible to every one of us. In other words, this is not a story of an extraordinary man with special gifts, special talents, special powers. It's a story of an ordinary man whom God calls to walk with him, to worship him, and to witness for him. And God uses him powerfully to bring about change. All the power to bring about restoration is found in God, not in Elijah. God uses this ordinary man because Elijah believes in God. And if you and I believe in God as well, then the Lord will use us too to do great and mighty things for his glory. You know, we obtain this faith not by manufacturing it, but we obtain this faith by asking for it. Even our faith is not from us. It's not something that we can take credit for. And so if we wish as ordinary men, ordinary women to be like Elijah, used to worship God in the midst of a culture that is contrary to the worship of Yahweh, used to be a witness for God, bringing light into a dark place, then it's right for us to begin at the very center, which is to ask for faith. Lord, grant me repentance of sin, grant me faith in you so that you would use me, so that I would be an instrument in your hands. Now, the story in 1 Kings 17 teaches us that God nourishes faith by placing us often in some strange and difficult places. God ordains the brook Cherith to be a place where Elijah's faith is readied for the day that when he does battle on Mount Carmel. Were it not for Cherith, Elijah would not have been triumphant at Carmel. And the main idea we're going to trace through the story today in 1 Kings 17 is simply this. God's providences are always sufficient for our needs. So God is the one who provides everything we need, and his providences are always sufficient. Regardless of how great our need will never extend beyond God's rich supply. Now, God's providences often appear as frowns. It seems like God may even be unhappy with us, but we can trust the Lord to abundantly care in all circumstances as we humble ourselves before him. And we see God's hand of providence all through the story in 1 Kings 17. And today we're going to look at six providences of God in faltering time that strengthens our faith. These bring about a trust, a faith, a dependence upon the Lord. The first providence we see in this story is the providence of depleted brook. And God's providence often includes depleted brooks. In verse 7 of 1 Kings 17, we read, "After a while, the brook dried up." Now remember that on a practical level, Elijah is in a really bad spot. He's obeyed the Lord by going to wicked King Ahab, a Baal worshiper, and he goes to King Ahab with the message that Yahweh is the God of Israel, that contrary to King Ahab's efforts, Baal is not the God of Israel, but Yahweh is the God of Israel, and that the God of Israel, Yahweh, is alive. And the ultimate expression to King Ahab is, and the God you worship, Baal, that God is dead. That God is no God at all. Elijah goes to King Ahab with this powerful message, first about God, but also about God's judgment and righteousness. And he tells King Ahab, and guess what? The God of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, who is alive, is not pleased because you have filled this land with idolatry. And so the Lord is going to send a drought upon Israel for 3.5 years. And the Lord won't lift this drought until I ask him to. And so what do you think King Ahab's response is? Remember, King Ahab worships Baal, who is the god of rain. And this is a direct assault against the main power of the God that King Ahab worships and relies on. You know, he believes if you are kind to Baal, then Baal will be kind to you with rain. And Elijah's saying, nope, Baal has no power over the rain whatsoever. My God does. Yahweh does. Well, King Ahab's furious. And this is a time which he and Jezebel have pursued the prophets of God to murder them. And so Elijah knows what's in store as a result of King Ahab's fury. Here's the truth. Obedience to God often places us in extreme danger. And that may be a surprise to some, because perhaps you've been taught in Sunday school that if you obey the Lord, you'll never be in danger. And that's not simply true. That obedience to God often places God's people in extreme danger. Now, we're safe in times of extreme danger because the Lord is with us, and the Lord controls everything about the danger. But that doesn't mean that we won't experience extreme danger. In such times, know that the Lord, who is alive, is with every person who obeys him. So God sovereignly provides a hiding place for Elijah, where Elijah will be safe from the king's fury, protected from the famine that God sends upon this rebellion nation. And here at the Brook Kereth, God nourishes Elijah with meat that the Uber Eats ravens bring every morning and every afternoon, and with fresh water that the Brook Kereth delivers to him. And what a joy. What a joy for Elijah. You know, he does the hard thing, and perhaps he thought, King Ahab, right when I'm saying it, he's not going to be patient for even a moment. He's going to take my life right now, but King Ahab doesn't do that. And then God says, go to the hiding place, the Brook Kereth, and he does. And he's wondering probably all along the way, is King Ahab going to catch up with me before I get there? And he finally gets there, and he knows he's safe. He's hidden away from King Ahab. And he also knows that he's provided by God with food and with drink. And what a joy it must have been as Yahweh refreshed him with food that the ravens bring, with water from the stream. No cares, no concerns, all those anxious thoughts just lifted. Peace is reigning. But then verse 7 again says, after a while. And we're not sure how many days, weeks, months that Elijah is at the Brook Kereth, but after a while, I imagine Elijah was at the Brook Kereth long enough to begin to rely upon the ravens and to rely upon the brook. In other words, it's been days, weeks, months that the ravens appear every morning, every afternoon, delivering food. And he's gotten used to it. Oh, this first was miraculous. I wondered if it would happen. When it happened the first day, it was amazing. But then it happened the second day. Oh, I was surprised. But the third day, as he got there, they come. And then they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. God's providing through this very strange, sovereignly ordained source of help. And now Elijah's gotten used to it. So, you know, he gets up in the morning and brushes his teeth. And the first thing, he looks up in the sky looking for the ravens to come. He's expecting them. He looks at the brook, there it is, after a while. Is this not how our life unfolds as well? We experience some insurmountable need, some very difficult trouble, and what do? As God's people, we pray. And as we pray and we wait upon the Lord, God answers, and it's remarkable in his deliverance and his provision. We're often surprised by it, But as God provides then, we begin to become tempted to rely upon that specific means for our supply rather than to rely upon the Lord. And there's a difference. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Why was there no rain in the land? Because Elijah is praying that there would be no rain in the land. In other words, he's participating in his own difficulty. Through his obedience, he knows he's bringing upon himself a new difficulty, a new danger, a new threat. And God wants us to know in telling the story that it's not Satan that's drying up this brook. It's the Lord himself in his sovereign working to bring discipline to a nation. He sovereignly is drying a brook that had been providing water every day for Elijah. How many of you have been without employment? You don't need to raise your hand. Has there been a time in your life you were without a job and you wondered, you know, you had a job for a while and the job dried up. And then you wondered, okay, well, I've been relying upon this. How am I going to provide for myself and for my family? And you enter into a time of prayer, you wait for the Lord, and then the Lord miraculously, again, sort of like in some strange circumstances, almost every believer I know has some story like this of God provided. And then a year goes by, 2 years goes by, God provided, God provided. And then that brook starts drying up or dries up very quickly, very unexpectedly, and it's that whole fear cycle all over again. Isn't it like us to begin to rely upon the means of God's provision rather than upon God himself? There is a big difference between trusting the Lord's means and trusting the Lord. And Elijah is being taught by God this very important lesson through the drying up, the sovereignly ordained, providential drying up of the brook. We discover that difference when the Lord in providence removes a specific means that he has used to provide for us. Pastor F.B. Meyer in his commentary describes the scene for Elijah as he, every day, he's going down, taking up water. He knows there's drought in the land, but he has water and he has food. But then one day he knows, it seems like this brook is running a little slower than it did yesterday. And he looks at the water line. Oh, it's also like half an inch lower. And the next morning he gets up and now it's an inch lower and then it's 2 inches lower. And it's slower and slower, and he's noticing, and as he's noticing, he's a man like us, and what would we do in such circumstances? We begin to wonder, oh no, this brook is drying up, and this brook is what I'm relying upon to give me water every day. F.B. Meyer describes different kinds of drying brooks in our life. He thinks of the drying brook of popularity, and he talks about John the Baptist. One time, everybody loved John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the greatest. And then John the Baptist is in prison. He's forgotten. Nobody cares about him. And John the Baptist is actually discouraged because the brook is drying up. He talks about the drying brook of health. You know, you have these years, I am so strong. It feels like I'm almost invincible to any sickness. And then some sickness strikes. And it's a wasting sickness. It's a sickness that may not even let you go. And that strength that you once had, it's just like it's diminishing, it's just fading. He talks about the drying brook of money or financial provision. New debts begin to suck away at the thing that you had stored up and had been relied upon, that God had provided for you to store up. An economy is changing. New demands, perhaps abilities have faded as a result of sickness. And then he talks about the drying brook of friendship. Friends, it seemed so refreshing, and you see that friendship beginning to diminish. Something's happened. You try to replenish it, but it just seems like that friendship is just fading away, and it's threatened to cease altogether. Do you have any drying brook in your life? And if so, how are you responding to it? Because God in his providence is teaching us to trust him and not the brook. Watchman Nee says, because of our proneness to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, God has frequently to change his means of supply to keep our eyes fixed upon the source. I love that. Isn't that true? I look at the bucket, there's the water, and I forget, no, it came from this unending living spring over here. When the brook begins to dry, God does not change. The second providence is a trustworthy word. Look at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. So in the midst of this diminishing brook, this crisis, then the word of the Lord came. You know, the most blessed, precious, treasured gift the Lord gives to anyone is his word. The living word in Jesus Christ, the written word through scripture that points us and helps us to see who Jesus is, to connect us with God. Without God's word, there is no hope. You know, Elijah looks at the diminishing brook, and every day, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. He knows what's going to happen. It's going to end out. And then the word of the Lord comes to him, and it's life-giving. Without the word of God, there is no promise. Without the word of God, there is no direction. Without the word of God, there's no good news. Without the word of God, there's no reconciliation between us and the Lord. Without the word of God, there is no grace, there is no mercy. Without the word of God, there is no salvation. And so the best gift God gives any of us is the word of the Lord. And here's what the word says, verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath. You know, the word of the Lord often says things that run contrary to our natural reasoning, run contrary to our emotions. And this is one of those really strange instructions. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. You remember the earlier mention of Sidon in 1 Kings 16:31, where Ahab marries a gal named Jezebel, and her dad is the king of Sidon, and she's a Sidonian. This is Jezebel who murders the prophets of the Lord, of which Elijah's one of them. And he's here by the brook Cherith, and Sidon and Zarephath is 90 miles north across the desert through enemy territory. And the Lord says, okay, the brook's drying up. Here's what I want you to do. Go to Zarephath. By the way, that's in Sidon. Wait a minute, Lord. I'm a Jew. You know that. You know it's going to be hard to hide my identity going to a Gentile country. You know that. You know that the Sidonians don't like the Jews, and you know that I represent you in a land that loves Baal and is willing to kill the prophets of the Lord. Yep, that's the place, Elijah. Go to Zarephath and then dwell there. Friends, we have God's word as surely as Elijah did in his day. And in our day, God has chosen to give us his word, and it's the most precious gift because it's life-giving. Jesus would say, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. The word of the Lord is everything to the man or woman who follows God. In fact, Paul would write this about the word of the Lord. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's God's very breath. It's living, it's profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. If you want to grow in faith, if you want to be a worshiper, if you want to be used by me and equipped for every good work in this life, if you want to fulfill your life purpose, you need the scripture. The scripture is breathed out by God and it's given by God for the profit of living a different kind of life. How providential God is to give us his word. God says, I'm going to provide this. I'm going to provide it sovereignly. I'm going to do some miracles to bring you a clear, sure, authoritative word. And what we have in the scripture is an amazing miracle of God. It's not written by men. God used men, holy men of old, as instruments. But it's written by the Holy Spirit himself. And he brought it to us so that we could benefit from it this morning. What an amazing providence of God to bring us his word. Two applications. Let us learn to study the Bible so that we too can hear God's direct voice. Now, Elijah heard the word of the Lord very directly, very clearly. But again, we're not paupers in comparison to Elijah. We are wealthy in comparison to Elijah in reference to how much of the word we have and how much access we have to the word of the Lord. And so let us learn to study the book, because if we really want to know the will of God in our lives, we're going to study God's book. The word of God must consume our minds if we are to know what God wants us to do and who he wants us to be, the most basic questions of life. So let's learn to study the scriptures. And again, I would say so many are consumed by the messages of the world in so many avenues and places and spheres, and then we take a little tiny sip of God's word, maybe in the morning, maybe just once on a Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, we'll never be able to experience and know the will of the Lord through that kind of interaction with his word. His word's precious, it's a treasure. So go to it to find out what he desires for your life and who he desires you to be. And then secondly, let us learn to trust everything we read in the God's book. It's one thing to read it and to study it and to know and understand what it says. It's another to trust everything that the Lord says. Trust means to obey and submit. You know, God's book so often contradicts most of our confident opinions about life. Almost everything the world says is true about life. God's book contradicts our most assured feelings, feelings about ourselves, feelings about other people, our most valued assertion, this is what's really important to me. I want you to know that once you start reading God's book, you say, well, God's book contradicts everything that naturally flows out of my heart and out of my culture. Almost everything. If we wish to benefit from the will of God, and it's only those who do the will of God who abide forever, who are truly blessed with life, with joy, with peace. If we wish to benefit from the will of God in our lives, the word of God must consume our hearts. Not just our minds, but also our hearts. Third act of providence, surprising sources. God often uses surprising sources to minister to us in our lives. Verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and dwell there. He says, behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed. A widow? Really, Lord? A widow? Undoubtedly, Elijah was surprised, first of all, to go to Sidon. It's a Gentile country. Why not go to the Jewish city? That's where I expect God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, to provide for me. Nope. I want to show you that I'm more than the God of Israel. I'm the God of the universe. Go to Sidon, because that's where I'm going to provide for you. And then Elijah, okay, if I'm going to Sidon, I would expect maybe the Lord to say, go to Sidon because I have a really wealthy merchant who is a God-fearer. In other words, he's become a worshiper. And that's the person, oh, that makes sense. You know, you have somebody in Sidon, that makes sense, who's really wealthy and he's going to be able to take care of me. No, he says, I want you to go to a widow. A widow? Widows are going to be in desperate circumstances. This widow was. Every widow is going to be in a time of drought and famine. How is a widow going to provide for Elijah, a Jewish prophet? I believe God intends to humble Elijah through the means by which he provides for him.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. I pray that this radio ministry is a blessing to your life and a health to your soul as you would grow to know Jesus Christ more and more, that you'd experience his love, that you'd experience his goodness and his kind provision. As we've been thinking today about 1 Kings 17, reminded that God is a God who provides and that he wants us to call upon him in faith. If you are in a position this day of need, a time when it seems like the provision of God is drying up all around you and you're concerned about what is going to happen, first, I want to encourage you to take some time to pray, to call out upon the Lord, knowing that he hears you. But the second is I would encourage you to ask another brother or sister in Jesus Christ, someone from your own church family, to enter into the need with you and just simply to pray. We often forfeit the goodness of the Lord in our lives because we're unwilling to share. So won't you take some time to share that with a friend today? May God bless you.
If you'd like to listen to this message again or download a copy, go to knowingchrist.org. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider supporting us financially? All of the resources offered are sent with no cost to our listeners, so please help us continue to do that by giving a gift today. It's very easy. Just go to knowingchrist.org and select the support tab. That's knowingchrist.org. And thank you for your partnership. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church. For the sake